All right. Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Carol Sauvion. She is here because she is the executive director of the Peabody Award-winning and Emmy Award-nominated documentary series Craft in America, which is coming back to PBS for season 14 and will launch on November 12th. Carol, welcome to the show. I hope you don't mind bringing it up, but we had your ex on the show, Mr. American Pie, not that long ago.
Aha. I hope it was a good interview.
Okay. Craft in America is very interesting. There's really nothing like it. It's just got a very creative spirit with language and traditions about things that we make with our hands. Where did it all start?
Well, it started quite a while ago. It started in 1996 when I had the idea, having a gallery in L.A. for 16 years, I had the idea that craft is sort of hiding in plain sight. And although I had a great clientele, a lot of people aren't that aware of how important the handmade is to us now in our daily lives and has always been since the beginning of time, actually. So I thought, how can we make it more understood and accessible? Let's put it on television. And so that's exactly what we did. And it took a while. I started the project in 1996. The first episodes of Craft in America aired in 2007. So it took over 10 years from the beginnings to the actual programs being aired. And it was has been an exciting journey from the very beginning.
How is my man Cheech Marin a part of this season?
Oh, Cheech is so important to one of our upcoming episodes entitled Collectors, because Cheech has been a protagonist and a collector of Chicano art for, I'd say, at least 20 years. And he has some of the most important pieces in his collection. And they've just opened the Cheech Marin Center for Chicano Art at the Riverside Museum in Riverside, California. And they have had a huge positive response to the, it's actually a museum. It sits by itself and has absolutely wonderful work. So worth going to see. A new addition to the important story of the arts in California.
You know, as a kid in grammar school in the 70s, we had arts and crafts, and I think we all made ashtrays, and then we painted them and shellacked them and put them in a kiln, but that was about it. Are we kind of, especially with nowadays, with screen time, are we getting away from these types of things?
Well, it would seem that way, but actually it's quite the opposite.
Hmm.
Because of what has happened in our country in the last 20 years, starting with 9/11 and going through the recession of 2008 and then the pandemic, people are looking for something that gives them comfort, that gives them a sense of independence, a sense of accomplishment. So it all started in the early 2000s with the 8-foot-long hand-knitted scarves that so many people were making,
mm-hmm.
and it's just gone from there. So people who started out in a very simple way are now quite accomplished. And that happened before in the 60s, end of the 60s, all through the 70s, when the hippies took over the consciousness of so many people, and people started making things again and trying to go back to their roots. So for a number of reasons, the crafts are thriving right now.
You know, I know you. When I was on your website, craftamerica.org, I saw a piece you did on Victoria Finley Wolf, who has a fine art degree, but her passion is in making quilts. And I think a lot of these things, as you're saying, macrame and you know, sewing baby boots, whatever, you know, it's for quote unquote grandma. So because of the pandemic, the sort of pejorative nature of this is who does this, young people don't do this, we're kind of swinging around the other way now.
Oh, absolutely. And as you talked about that ashtray, and someone still has that ashtray. Your mother, your aunt, someone has it. It's important. It's because it has meaning. and it has your energy in it. And I think that's what people are missing in a lot of ways in our society now. And the crafts certainly help to reestablish those meanings for us.
You know, there's that.
Yes, it's the kids.
Yeah, there's a show on cable called Forged in Fire where they get four guys and they make knives and swords and whatever. And I was thinking about it. I mean, it's kind of like the high tide raises all boats. I mean, it's kind of down your alley, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that is something that we will be discussing in the new episodes of Craft in America. We are working on an incredible initiative right now called Handwork, Celebrating American Craft 2026. And it's for the semi-quincentennial, the 250th anniversary of the United States. And in thinking about this, we realized that there are a lot of undertold stories and overlooked events in our history, starting with the contributions of Native Americans who were conquered by, but not so, attempted to be overtaken by the colonization, but that didn't really happen because there's a thriving arts community within the Native American communities all over the country. And that seems to be the case in a lot of places, a lot of ways. So we're excited about Handwork 2026. If anyone is interested in learning more about it, I think the website is handwork2026.org. And there we have so far over 130 participants, museums, schools, art centers all around the country. And this celebration will kick off in the fall of 2025.
Carol?
And so through 2026. Mm. And the Renwick Gallery of the Smithsonian Institution will have the final exhibition opening in November of 2026. So we're excited about that.
Very cool. Carol, how important are collectors? Because a lot of times you do need some maybe monetary revenue producing efforts coming back the other way.
Yes, well, I had a dear friend who was, I was a potter for 10 years in the 70s, and I had a dear friend who said, being a potter is a good way to starve to death. And it is really hard. It is hard to make a living as an artist, a craft artist especially. But collectors have stepped up and made such a huge difference. Not only do they support financially and psychologically, they also ensure that an artist's work won't disappear. It'll be kept in a good collection, maybe going off to museums, making just opening up the world to a lot more people. So collectors are essential. Sam Maloof, who was a wonderful woodworker, he was in our first episode called Memory. And Sam said there was a triune. It was the maker, the object, and the collector. And all three were very important. So I agree with that 100%. So if there are any collectors listening, consider collecting craft. It's so much fun and often very functional. So,
what about the term craft beer? Is that a misnomer, or do you agree with that term?
You know, this has happened over, I'd say, the last 10 years. Things are well crafted. So craft beer. I have a friend who brings me maple syrup, and her husband considers that a craft, making the maple syrup. Yes, cooking is a craft. We had a symposium in 2002 to talk about the parameters of the Craft in America project. And one of the people who participated, Beverly Gordon, she's a fiber scholar from Wisconsin. She taught at University of Wisconsin for many years. She said, is baking bread a craft? Is cooking a craft? Well, it's something you learn how to do. It's something you perfect. It's something that you excel at if it's important to you. And you make it part of your life's work in a way. When I was preparing to talk with you today, I thought, now why is a sports network calling a craft organization? I said, okay, let's think about that. A sport is definitely a craft. Learning how to do something well is what you have to do. You have to practice. You have to be persistent. You have to excel. And you have to make it your life's work. And so many things fit into that. As we're working on the handwork project, we want it to be more broad than our Craft in America series is, which features the finest artists. We know there are 62 million people in our country who make something. I mean, that's incredible. And every one of them deserves to have what they do appreciated, even if it's just by themselves. It's just important. So hopefully handwork will help to gather together all of these wonderful people and sort of make the craft special again.
Yeah, we just have a minute, but to me it's like things we don't assume we can do. And I know three people. One makes her own clothes, another one has a kit and makes her own perfume, and then the other one makes their own jewelry. These are just things you assume, well, someone else makes these, I can't do it.
Right, but you can do it, and that's the exciting part, if you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And then if you are possessed by it, which is what happened to me when I started making pots, you can't stop learning. It's so exciting. And when we film with someone, Sam Maloof, who was, I think, almost 90 when we filmed with him. Number one, he was still as passionate about his work as ever, which is amazing. And that's something I think shows what an artist he was. And number two, quite opposite from what people think, young people love older people who know how to make something and that they can learn, whom they can learn from. So it's all exciting. I thank you for giving me this opportunity. And I thank my staff. We have the most wonderful group of people helping us. So,
well, I think it's very inspiring for people out there who are thinking about doing this, and maybe that'll give them a little kickstart there. It's called Craft in America, Season 14 on PBS, launching November 12th, and, of course, a lot more at craftinamerica.org. We've been speaking with the executive director, Carol Sauvignon. Good stuff, Carol. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.